Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, let's get back into it, listeners. We have another great guest here waiting to talk with us. He is Alan Zell, and Alan has is known as the Ambassador of Selling. His company name is Attitudes for Selling, and he's visiting with us from Portland today. And Alan has a book called The Elements of Selling that's a great read. I have a copy here right in front of me. It's got some great, clear, sensible ideas and tips and strategies for you to improve the sales element of your business. And so I'd like to welcome Alan onto the line here. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just listening to the last caller, and a lot of it is what I work on, which I call internal selling.
Internal selling is a great title. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's the communications within a business which is really selling.
That's right. It really is, and that makes a lot of sense. And I'm anxious to get into your book and talking about this more. And before we do that, could you just share with our listeners a little bit about your background and what you've been up to lately?
Okay, but well, my background is it was retailing, fine jewelry, giftware, et cetera, in a family business. I was a born executive, which means my father owned the business, and I spent 25 years of my life doing that. When I left the store in 1983, I knew that the techniques that they used, although they didn't know were a theory, could be transferred to almost any business, because you were presenting something, you want something, you want people to buy. And that's when I started. It originally started out as selling to people who don't like to sell. And because I had trained lots of people as salespeople who, when they came to me, says, "I don't know how to sell." Because there's a negative attitude about being in sales.
That's right. Yeah, there are a lot of professionals, and for instance, say, "Well, I'm not a salesperson, but if you're communicating, you're selling, right?" That's what you're getting at here.
Well, yeah. Plus, the fact is, they make decisions about selling for themselves and somebody else. But if you say you're not in sales, the decision can't be right.
Yes. Okay.
And the analogy is, if you haven't swept the floor with a broom, when it comes your time to decide what type of a broom to buy, you're not going to buy the right broom.
Yeah, and especially these days, consumers do a lot of research, but they're trying to influence an outcome. If you're trying to influence an outcome, and who isn't, then in that context, you're selling.
Yeah, I would say it a little bit different. What you're trying to do is to help your customer or client, whatever term you want to use, to justify their decision to buy something or not to buy something. That's where selling takes place, what I call third-party selling. In other words, once somebody comes to buy something or you ask them to buy, they become your unpaid salesperson because they have to get confirmation or justification for doing it.
Okay.
And that could happen one day before. It could happen one day afterwards. It could happen a month afterwards. And somebody says, "You know, why did you buy that? It's no good." And all of a sudden it comes back. So the whole idea is to understand, and this is for almost any business, that the minute this customer hangs up the phone or walks out the door, they're going to be talking to somebody else about their experience.
That's a great point. Is selling an art, first of all? Do you consider it an art form, or is it a science?
It's neither. It's just communications. It's understanding what somebody else is going through. Everybody who sells is a customer for somebody else. So it's just understanding what goes on in that other environment. Because if the customer can't take it forward to that, you're not going to make the sale. That's what's wrong with most websites, with most brochures, sales presentations, marketing books where they talk about selling. It's like throwing darts and drawing circles. But customers are moving targets.
That's what I was trying to get to was, I believe it's more of an art than it is a science, but people have tried to make it into a technical thing these days with if thens, and it really starts with caring about people and making sure that the right outcome happens. And I believe that it is a lost art because we're in this hurry up world where we don't, you know, the old saying, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think that's been lost for years.
Right. Well,
what do you think?
The other thing, we've lost the training grounds. You know, if you just took at retailing and you look at the great retailers of this country have gone, but they were the training grounds for small business because they set a criteria. Now you have people starting businesses who have no idea about display or presentations or, as I say, what goes on in your customer's environment. And when I work with a company, whether it be a startup or an existing business, a lot of it's going back to help them just start to take that concept that when you present something to somebody, you're helping them make your presentation for you. Because if they can't make the right presentation, they won't buy.
Well, you say something like that in your book, that most individuals, businesses, and organizations have problems selling new products because they fail to practice good business etiquette, that is, making the unfamiliar familiar.
Yes, that is with any business, not just new business, any business when it comes out new, that you have to understand, you can put it out there, but if people don't understand what's inside the package, you're not going to do it. So that's what business etiquette is. In fact, that's what etiquette is, period, whether it be social etiquette or business etiquette, is taking the unfamiliar and making it familiar.
Now, typically, people, we're a nation, especially a nation, but a people who have grown up communicating through stories. Has the art of storytelling gone away?
Well, I don't know if it's storytelling. Well, you call it, a lot of it is the history of how something came about. That was, I used to say to people, I don't sell china glass and silver. I sell history in the form of china glass or silver. And everything we sell, whether it be dresses or shoes or whatever, all has a history. And it's that trivia, although all trivia is important. But sometimes it's just a little bit of background of how something came about or how it's morphed from one thing to another. And that's what makes it important to the customer, that it's more than just a piece sitting on a table. That's where the computer killed retailing in some ways, because everything lost its personality and became an SKU number.
Exactly right. Well put.
But everything we sell in any business, it has a personality. You know, it's the touch, it's the feel, it's the color, it's the size. And a lot of my time is just going to somebody's business and teaching them the background of what they're selling. And that's why the way I wrote my book and doing it was to take and try to say, what did my family do that? And that's why I try to, it's said in different ways, but the idea is that you're always working with somebody who does not understand what you're trying to sell them.
You know, interesting point, whether it's a product, listeners, or whether you're trying to get your business into a ready-for-sale situation, you're going to have to tell a story to illustrate the value.
Right.
If someone approaches you and just says, send us your last 3 years' financials, that's probably not going to be a great buyer.
No,
right?
Well,
would you agree with that?
Yes, of course. People who love spreadsheets, excuse the expression, you have a spreadsheet and they have an orgasm. You know, they love it. That's nirvana to them. But that isn't what customers don't care about a spreadsheet. They right. care about what are they going to take and how are they going to use it. And I had to know as a merchant how my customer is going to use and with whom are they going to use it. You know, if you're selling jewelry, you had to understand what the fabrics and whether something could catch on them easy or whether a coat or a blouse was enough to take a pin or, you know, and the whole history behind those things. And it was those
right.
that little bit of storytelling, as you call it, is very, very important. And,
I just saw a psychologist recently who said, we call them stories because that's how we store the memory that's in right. our brains.
The story can't be more important than the product, which happens sometimes. Sometimes people, let's say, put humor into something, and all of a sudden people remember the humor, but they don't remember the product.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
Sometimes the way somebody's dressed, and I tell the story of myself, I had a suit with a very unusual pattern in it, and everybody commented the suit, and my uncle walked by, and when the customer was out of earshot, he said, Alan, he says, when they comment on your suit before they comment on the goods on the shelf, you're wearing the wrong thing.
Alan, tell us about the acronym FFAACCC. What does that stand for? It's mentioned many, many times in your book. Tell our listeners what you should think about. FFAACCC.
Okay, well, FFAACCC stands for family, friends, associates, acquaintances, customers/clients, or their own conscience. So every person you're talking to has FFAACCCs that they might possibly talk to, because that's where selling takes place. But between the salesperson and the customer, that's teaching. But you have to give them the ammunition or whatever you wish to call it, so that they can go back and show how what a good buyer they are, why they were a good buyer. It's like a little kid coming home with a new shirt, and the mother says, you got to take it back, it's the wrong color. Because the kid wasn't the buyer, the mother's the buyer. So you're always talking to one person beyond the person you're talking to, which could be FFAACCC.
Is the point of that you really need to make whatever you say clear enough and simple enough for them to take that to that next constituent?
That's right.
Next level.
You know, and we who are in business have a tendency to forget you got to go back to A plus B plus C. And that's very hard sometimes to do, because we get caught up in the technicalities of what it is. So every business has technicalities. They may not be technical, but they have technicalities. And to be able to show a customer that you know about the technicalities in simple language is what's important. And for small businesses, it's very, very important. And you almost have to become a lover of history. I have books in my library sitting here on all types of products and things and heraldry, because we sold social stationery. I had to learn all about how did monogramming come about. You know, what was the history of it? Because I was selling history, and it was in the form of whatever. I mean, there's a whole reason behind what necklaces were and how they came about and. Or wedding rings, how it came about. There's a whole story.
What's fantastic is I'm again thumbing through your book, and I've been looking at it, and you've got so many great charts and checklists and question exercises for business owners to go through to get back to what you call the elements of selling. How long did it take you to put all this together, Alan? It's a great book.
25 years.
Oh, is that all?
It started out as a book. The title was going to be Selling for People Who Don't Like to Sell. And a book agent said to me, Mr. Sell, the problem is people who don't like to sell don't go to bookshelves in bookstores on books on selling. So I worked for a long time. I must have 8 or 9 versions of it, because you can by the title, you could change it. And I have a version I've been playing with just because it's fun to play with something. I took the text and I said, getting people to do what you wanted them to do, what you want them to do. And that's selling. They have to be very comfortable about their decision. The charts in the book are done to try to explain the text.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is that at different times you would have to pull out different elements. That's why I use the term elements. All of them don't work all, or I shouldn't say none of them work all the time, but all of them work some of the time. And the idea is the situation changes, you have to pull different elements and put them together. It's like a wardrobe.
Is this book designed, or has it been used as a course for people, let's say a professional firm who wants to take their staff or their other partners through a course in selling? It looks like it could absolutely be a syllabus for a course.
It could be. There's one college in West Virginia that I think the professor uses it, because a lot of the students have bought the book or write me questions, and I can tell by the questions they've read the book just because of the way it's worded.
Mm-hmm.
The real problem is that it is my approach to selling and to business is so different than the textbooks that it's very hard for them to accept the concept. And I've run into this a lot. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with a number of teachers, and I try to say, well, here, you just use these things. Don't use everything. Take this and this and this, and this is what you want your students to do, because students are selling. That's what they do. When they take a test or write a paper, they're selling, and they get paid in a grade that the teacher can justify to the principal. So if the parents come back and say, my kid deserves an A, and she says no, because the principal wouldn't say that's not the kind of grade.
Alan, it's a fantastic read, and it looks like to me that anybody who is looking at their organization and thinking, you know, we need to do something about help getting everybody in the company involved and understanding that selling is not a bad word. Sales is not a bad word. It's what drives the economy. It's what drives business. And if you break it down into the elements like this, the elements of selling, as in Alan Zell's book, then you can help you can have an outcome, a positive outcome on your business by getting everyone excited and involved in the process.
Yeah, I should copy your words. You said it better than I can say it. It is the idea that everything that goes on within inside a business is selling, and how good that selling is affects how the external selling is. You know, in other words, it's like your thought process. If you have bad thought processes, it ends up going out as being poor. So the idea is to show everybody that they are themselves selling, but what they do, no matter, even if they're not in sales, affects sales.
Right.
Because if what you're doing doesn't help the sales process in some way, what are you there for?
What are you? That's right. Yeah, and I think a lot of people can use this information. Alan, we're out of time, but I love how focused you are on selling, because what's your website?
My website is sellingselling.com.
It's www.sellingselling.com. This man knows selling.
The book can be ordered on my website, or it's at almost any online bookstore, or Powell's in Portland, which is the world's largest bookstore, or the country's largest bookstore has it. It's available as e-publishing, as Adobe, as a Kindle version and a printed version.
Well, we're also going to carry it on. We have a little bookstore on our website at exitcoachradio.com, and it is a fantastic read. It's well worth any money you put into it. You'll probably end up buying a whole bunch of them and using it as a course in your company. But Alan Zell with Attitudes for Selling, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an amazing interview.
For multiple sales, I have special pricing.
Good to know. Units
of six or baker's dozens.
Should they just let you know on your website that they're interested in multiple?
It's on my website.
Baker's Dozen available now.
Yeah.
Get them while they're hot. Alan, a real pleasure talking with you, and hope we can visit again sometime soon, because I've really enjoyed it.
I would love to anytime, and anytime your listeners have a question, they can always go to my website and write the question. I'll always try to answer it. You know, if it takes me a half hour, fine. If it's going to take me 2 days, I charge. But if it's going to take a half hour, I'd be happy to answer it.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and you have a nice rest of your day, and we'll chat with you again soon, okay?
Anytime. Thank you, Bill, very much for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure. I've been talking with Alan Zell of Attitudes for Selling. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come right back with another guest. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.